Friday, 5 p.m. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, Garden City, New York, of course. I'm Tom Ryan and my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well. We're doing this every Friday. Friday is where we change the theme of the show to how music changed, and we take a specific topic and we go very deep with it. We've been doing something a bit unusual with the topic that we're on now. We're covering the music of Pink Floyd, a history of their music. But what I wanted to do is avoid being redundant with all of the shows that we'd already covered for Pink Floyd with their albums on Wednesday. So if you're listening live on Fridays and you're hearing us playing, like, looks like we're playing the stuff that's between the albums, it's exactly because that
there is
what,
a reason why.
That's what we are, exactly what we are doing. On Wednesday, we had already pre-recorded an entire hour show for Piper at the Gates of Dawn. So we decided that rather than redo the whole thing again, we would just be able to put that on our website and put it numerically in the order where it belongs, and you can hear that album in its entirety on that show. After that, we did the same thing with the album Metal about a month back ago or something like that. And now, just before this show, we had placed Dark Side of the Moon on the website. So if you're a Pink Floyd fan and you say, wait a minute, you didn't even cover Dark Side of the Moon? No, we did. We did, and we did it on a Wednesday covering the entire album. So it would be redundant for us to do that here now on Friday. So we just decided that rather than play that show out of sequence, we got you covered. Yeah, we just go to the website.
Exactly.
And you can hear it whenever you want
to. What is the website?
It is AmericanHitNetwork.com. Or you could just search for American Hit Radio. It comes right up. I mean, it's the first thing that'll come up on your, you know, whatever it is that you use to
your browser.
To browse through the internet. So that takes us to that. And after this show, we're going to be covering the album Wish You Were Here. So that will not be played next week either. And we'll continue. I'll figure out what we're going to do after that. And then we'll end up being in a place where we do have to do with animals as well, because we just covered that about a month ago on our Wednesday series. So after we get to that, we're back on our own, and then we can cover everything as though it's perfectly normal. But for the things that you think that we're missing, please go to the website. And I promise you that all the stuff that you were expecting to hear chronologically is sitting there in nice chronological order. So as a means of catching up and also mixing up the traditional Pink Floyd catalog that is now, like I said, at the website, with music that was released as solo projects by the band members. So I figured it would be fun to drop some of the band members' solo work in between the classic era of the band's most well-known albums that we've just pasted at the website. So this forces me to play a little bit with the timeline, but it also provides us with a break to play some of the music that was happening under the radar of Pink Floyd's superstardom. So interestingly, last week when we were live on Friday, we did get to play some music of an original release by, not really a solo release, because Roger Waters did it with a guy, Ron Geeson, like a duo. Who had worked together on one of the Pink Floyd albums, but Adam Hartmother. So that was the first example of us, besides the Syd Barrett stuff, of course, that we also covered. But now we're going to cover the actual members of Pink Floyd and their attempts at solo releases. And interestingly, the first one to release a solo album was Richard Wright, the keyboard player. He put out an album in September of 1978. He called it Wet Dream, which is obviously a play on words, but it's mostly because the album itself sounds as though it's pretty much about a vacation. There's an awful lot of that that feeling about the album. He self-produced the album, and it went pretty much completely unnoticed by anybody. It didn't chart. Nobody was really interested in hearing Richard Wright's solo work, even though he was a very important member of how the arrangements were being made on the Pink Floyd albums. So the album itself is about half and half instrumental songs and half vocal. So I picked one of each. We're going to open up with the track called Cat Cruise, which is an instrumental track, and we'll come back and talk about it afterward.
Thank you.
I got to admit that I'm kind of surprised that the album didn't really spark much interest at all among Pink Floyd fans at the time it was released. It got more coverage after he passed away, and then they re-released a version of it in 2023 with a nice Stephen Wilson production of it, which means it was like he's a real high-end dude to do that sort of a thing. And the new version does sound fantastic. It's really a matter of whether or not the songs themselves actually grab you in the same way that a Pink Floyd album would. And naturally, that isn't the case. It's much more laid back. But what's typical about it is that almost every song on the album has got that Pink Floyd mid-tempo, that, you know, plodding 60 to 80 beats per minute, you know, for every song. And the whole thing sounds like it was a vacation project. It sounds to me like Richard Wright was on vacation and figured he'd write some songs, but it was obviously a bummer holiday. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's in that great of a mood, or even though he's constantly referring to water. Like the first track was Mediterranean Sea. Like it's probably the key is in the letter C. And also a song called Summer Elegy and Waves. You know, things like there's obviously a lot of references to water, including the next track that we're going to play, which is actually a song with lyrics. It's called Summer Elegy.
Something's gotta give. We can't carry on like this. 1 year on and more unsure. Where do we go from here? Many nights and many days I've spent with you, talking about what we should do. I can't say. Nothing's clear to me no more. One more sleepless night, yet another wasted day. This song no end. Too many words fill my mind. You gave so much too soon. No longer sure where you want to be. Turn around. See what you have found. stay behind or follow me.
All right, I should mention that the band members that Rick Wright wound up with for his album included Mel Collins as the saxophonist, Snowy White on guitar, and Larry Steele on bass guitar, with Reg Isidore playing drums. Nobody that you'd really associate with Pink Floyd, per se. But, like I said, very good musicians. The recordings are excellent. It's just that, you know, I felt that when I was listening to the album, it barely mattered what songs I chose, because they all sounded very similar to one another, as they kind of all ran together. Now, what's interesting, though, is that after Wright got done recording his album at the studio called Joker's Wild in France, that's the name of Gilmore's band, I'm sorry, the name of the studio where they had recorded it in France, eventually David Gilmour would come in and record in the exact same studio just 3 weeks later. What's different, though, is that David Gilmour's album was released 4 months before Rick Wright's album. So Rick was either really, you know, struggling over it or held back before it was released. And the name of the studio, by the way, was Super Bear Studios in France, just to clarify that. So David Gilmour put out his first album that was actually released in May of 1978, 4 months before Rick Wright's album. And again, it's a little bit of a mix. I could mention that his band is actually members of the band that he was in before he joined Pink Floyd, a band called Joker's Wild. That's what I was thinking of when I said that. Bass guitarist is a guy named Rick Wills, and the drummer is Willie Wilson. Dave Gilmour takes care of pretty much the rest of all of it, and we'll play one of the first tracks from that album entitled Mihalis. Thank you. David Gilmour in the same studio that Richard Wright was in when he recorded the first album that we just played. Gilmour, obviously, as you can see, also had a few instrumentals on his album, not quite as many as Richard Wright. Richard Wright was about 50-50 with instrumentals, which I mean, of course, without vocals. Exactly one-third of the album that David Gilmour released, simply titled David Gilmour, by the way, were instrumentals, three of the nine songs on the album. There was one song that was released as a single, and oddly, it's also the only song that isn't credited to Gilmour as the songwriter. He's written everything else on the album, and was the only writer, with exception of one track where he split the credit with Roy Harper for one song. But everything else is credited exclusively to David Gilmour as the songwriter, with the exception of this song called There's No Way Out of Here, which was written by a guy named Ken Baker. It was also released as the single, although it didn't really go anywhere. It did get a little more airplay in America, though, I think, on some of the FM stations. Here's There's No Way Out of Here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set, the time and yet you waste it still. So it slips through your hands like grains of sand, you watch it go. There's no time to be lost, you'll pay the cost, so get it right. There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. And
That would qualify as the hit single then from the album David Gilmour, self-named for his very first primary album. Gilmour himself felt like he had something to prove, I think, at this point, being a member of Pink Floyd and really not feeling like he was much of a songwriter for the first four or five albums that the band put out. His quote was, "This album was important to me in terms of self-respect. At first, I didn't think my name was big enough to carry it. Being in a group for so long can be a bit claustrophobic, and I needed to step out from behind Pink Floyd's shadow." So there you go, which explains a little bit of, I guess, his need to basically start figuring that he maybe wouldn't need to start writing his own material. And thus with this album, he quite obviously did. Everything but the song we just played, There's No Way Out of Here. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but the next track that we're playing that is written by David Gilmour happens to be called No Way.
There's no way. There's no way, because it's my show. We'll be right back.
So there it is then, a few sample tracks from the first solo album by David Gilmour. So we've covered Richard Wright and David Gilmour. What's really strange is that Roger Waters really waited a while while his other bandmates did record and release solo albums. For example, we now are going to cover a solo album by the band's drummer, Nick Mason. It's called Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports. Now, I mentioned earlier that I'm playing a little bit with the chronology here because I'm trying to put all the solo albums together, in a sense, from this era. And this album was not released until 1981. So it was actually 3 years out of sync with what the two albums that we've played so far, but not really, because it was actually recorded in 1979 and then delayed from release for 2 full years. It's a strange album because it's called Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports, but the real primary creative force behind the album is Carla Bly. Carla Bly, a jazz, free jazz player and rather interesting character. I bought a box set of hers 30, 40 years ago called Escalator Over the Hill with a whole bunch of rock stars supporting her. And it's a weird one, and but it was interesting. This is a weird one, and it's interesting as well. It's essentially her album. She wrote all of the music and lyrics, and all of the songs have lyrics on this album, as opposed to the two we've just played. And Nick Mason does not do any of the singing. Actually, Robert Wyatt of Soft Machine is doing all of the vocals, except for the first track on the album, where a woman named Karen Kraft becomes the lead vocalist. And we'll start with that. The thing about this album that's very interesting is it's Carla Bly, who's a jazz artist, and yet here she seems to be having a tremendous amount of fun by just writing songs that seem to be a little bit influenced by the punk movement that was going on. So they're having a lot of fun. And she's also recording this record in her own house with her husband, our longtime husband at the time, Michael Mantler. They lived in Willow, New York, so Nick Mason came and recorded with them there. The only other person who's of, you know, a star besides Robert Wyatt and Carla Bly himself, of course, and Nick Mason, would be Chris Spedding, who is responsible for a lot of the guitar work. So here's that song that opens the album with the lead vocal by Karen Kraft. It's called Can't Get My Motor to Start.
Can't you get it to go? Is your battery low?
No, I don't think so.
Try pulling out of the choke.
Try looking under the hood.
Try pulling out of the choke.
Try looking under the hood.
Looking under the hood never did any good.
The choke must be broke.
That beer over here, cause I need it to still.
I don't think.
Try putting out all the wires. Try some cheese in the cracks. Try dynamite in the tank. Smash all the glass with ass.
Do you have any grease? Pour it over the seats.
Oh my god.
We'll be right back. She's starting to slide.
I think I can say without any hesitation that this album is by far the least Pink Floyd-like album that you're going to hear in this entire series. It's completely outside of the scope of what you would expect from a Pink Floyd band member. But that's also what kind of makes it very interesting, because it's really, really different. And Nick Mason is, quite frankly, just the drummer. He's not singing. He doesn't know the songwriting. He's not really involved with the production. He's Carl Bly's drummer, really, is what it is. And I think that what happened was she decided that she'd call it Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports, because that maybe would attract some of Pink Floyd's fans to come and buy the album. And it did turn out to be one of the best-selling albums that Carl Bly ever released, because she was obviously never a popular artist. But there's a lot of variety on the album. I'll play one more track to give you a feel of what it's like. Another similarly a bit goofy but fun track. It's called Boo to You Too.
So when we do it, we, you know I'm.
right. If that piques your curiosity, that album is Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports. Carl Bly album with the name of Nick Mason. And we've got time to squeeze in one more. I wish I could cover a little bit more of this. It's it gets back to the sequencing, I guess, thing with time. But it's David Gilmour's second album called About Face, released on March 6th in the United States, which happens to have been his 38th birthday. Got a lot of help from a lot of people with some of the material on the album. He got Pete Townsend to help him with writing some of the lyrics on some of the songs. And Gilmour himself, of course, wrote the large number of the songs by himself. And the song that I chose to play first is interesting because of the emotional impact that it has. It was a song where Gilmour is reacting emotionally to the murder of John Lennon after it had happened. And he loved John Lennon as well. He was an inspiration. So he decided to basically write a song about how he felt about it. And it's simply called Murder.
Some of them standing, some are waiting in line, as if there was something that they thought they might find. Taking some strength from the feelings that always were shared. And in the background, the eyes that just stared. What was it brought you out here in the dark? Was it your only way of making your mark? Did you get rid of all the voices in your head? Do you now miss them and the things that they said?
We'll be right back.
All right, and with the time we got left, we're going to play a song with lyrics that were written by Pete Townsend. It's called Love on the Air. Thanks, folks. Hope you can join us next week with as we continue with the Pink Floyd series. See you then.
Love on the air, I keep transmitting, but reception is hazy. I don't get an answer, keep sending it fast, always knew it was crazy to put my love on the air. No one